The primary passage for today's message comes from the book of John, the first chapter, starting with verse 6. But as you're turning there, December is such an interesting time for me. This past week, I celebrated my 25th birthday, and, you know, it's a milestone, it's a quarter of 100 years, and there has been a lot to take place in that 25 years. Starting from one of the first Sundays coming in, the pastor thinking it was a good idea to use me as a prop, as baby Jesus, all the way to now, where I more so look like Jesus with how crazy I've let my hair go. But nevertheless, December is always a fantastic time to reflect and remember on all the things that have happened and all the things that will take place in the years to come, especially considering all the things that we've had happen in this last year. Those we've lost, those we've loved, those that we've come to more better know, and those that have shown themselves to be not worth the knowing. But as we look into this passage and into today, we need to remember the central idea of today and the season. It's an anticipation of the joys to come, not just on the day that we celebrate Christ's birth, but in anticipation on the return that he has promised for us one day. So let us get into the passage, starting at verse 6 of chapter 1, Gospel of John. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Continuing forward to verse 19. Now this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Christ." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John then replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the desert, make straight the way for the Lord." Now some Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, for which whose thongs on his sandals I am unworthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany, on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. So this text explores, at least in John, the events leading up to Christ's appearance in its gospel. Immediately after, John declares that he sees the Lamb approaching him. So on this day of celebration of joy and anticipation, we are primed for the anticipation of the one who is to come, Christ Jesus. But it's so obscure. This strange man of a very odd description, eating locusts and honey in the desert, shouting about one coming after him that he can't even untie the shoes of, is the one that so many people are coming to and getting baptized by for the purpose of preparation for this coming Messiah. There were many teachers at the time that would do similar things, but not as uniquely as John does here. Many would claim that they are the prophet, or that they are the Messiah, but John knows his place. He is none of these things other than a servant that is given the ability and allowed to testify to these things to come. And it is very interesting that he doesn't just go forward and say these things, but he says them in a way that leads to more questions, which is very familiar to another style of teaching that another individual has later on in the same gospel. As Christ would teach, he would lead things to be rather vague so people would want clarification in their questions. And most of the time, they would be asking the wrong question. As is with this case, the Pharisees, the priests, and the Levites present are asking the wrong questions. Who are you? Are you Elijah? Are you the Messiah? Are you the prophet? These are not the questions that they need to be asking. They should know based on his answer. For John makes reference to another well-known individual, Isaiah. And I'm going to turn over to the passage that he is referencing. The answer he gives, the voice crying out in the wilderness, comes from Isaiah chapter 40. I'll start from the beginning of the chapter as it leads into it. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, and every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now, if that sounds familiar to any of you, it is a very well-articulated and composed and performed portion of Handel's Messiah. One of those things that I miss this year, as a constant celebration at Olivet, they would perform this work of text-made music. The joy that is brought within that text is one of anticipation and declaration. Jerusalem in this instance, Israel in this instance, knows, as we know, that we and they have sinned so harshly against our God. But when the voice calling in the desert, make straight the way for the Lord, is declared by John in this instance, we know that the time is at hand for us to declare that God has paid forward on our sin. God has made a way for us to be cleansed and to be made free of all these chains that bind us. And so, as we look at John and Isaiah, these two figures of great declaration in the service of our God, they recognize that they are not the focal point here. And that's something that we also have to recognize. Many of our traditions and our activities during this season are great, and we find joy in doing them. The little nativities, the caroling down the street, the gift exchanges, they hold a special place in our memories and hearts. But these little decorative things fade in comparison when compared to the promise that we have that there is a Lord that is still coming, and he is not coming back as a baby this time. We missed out on meeting the child Jesus, but we do not have the opportunity of missing out on Jesus completely. For it is in these words, these moments, and the people that we interact with that we are able to reveal Christ to them. I remember growing up, and one often said thing in the nursery or the schoolhouse, sharing is caring. And that annoys children a lot. But as grown adults, confessors of Christ, this is so true. For as we share Christ, as we share this light, as we share this Messiah to those that we interact with, meet, and help, we bring them one step closer to the kingdom, and we bring the kingdom one step closer to earth. And as they, one by one, declare the Lord as their God, heaven rejoices. The angels sound their trumpets, just as they did 2,000 years ago to declare the Lord's entrance into the world. They do the same with the sinner and non-believer entering into the kingdom once more. As they did with us, they do for them, and they are no longer just themselves as they become our family. And so we look at the baptism, this washing of the water, the washing of the body. The traditions of this people, oftentimes leading to cleanliness, and we often find similar interest in the adage, cleanliness is next to godliness. But in the same way, John is baptizing these people in water as God prepares to baptize with the Spirit and in flame. We are only capable of doing so much, and I take great joy in that. Because if we were responsible for the salvation of everyone we meet individually, responsible. We would be no better than the law-abiding Pharisees. We would be no closer to heaven than the zealots who declared that their God was king. Because it is in not our actions alone, but in the response that we have to the calling of God on all of our lives and the lives of others, that we can bring about the coming of the kingdom. And so on this Advent morning, as we look to the future, just a couple weeks away, the day that this whole season is leading up to, it won't be hard for us to remember to be happy and joyful and jolly. But we need to be reminded and be mindful of the purpose of this joy. For it is not simply self-gratification in gift exchanges and decorating and simply seeing your friends and family. But it is the expansion of the friends and family of God as we step forward into the new age as the kingdom of God breaks through into this world. And so, I pray this. May the Lord of hosts, as he broke into this world 2,000 years ago, break into our hearts, our souls, and minds today. May he penetrate us and sanctify us through and through so that we may participate, partake, and exchange not just gifts, but his holy gift of his Spirit and the salvation that it brings. May we gloss over the advertisements and the consumerism and simply fall down on our knees and consume the Word of God as it is, as it declares the kingdom comes. And may this Christmas season and all the seasons after, may it be that God's will be done. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.